Welcome to the Whole Self Podcast, where we talk about various mental health topics with an emphasis on the body, mind, and spirit connection. Our goal is to empower our listeners with the knowledge and tools needed to embark on their own healing journey. A gentle reminder that this podcast is not a substitute for therapy, and we encourage you to seek out your own therapy if needed.
Hi, welcome to the Whole Self Podcast. I'm Sharon Wegman.
And I'm Mandy.
And today we're going to be talking again about pop psychology, but we're going to be talking about how it's kind of gone a little to the Wild West, and we're going to be talking about things we see coming into our practice tied to pop psychology and how it's affecting the people that come into our practice.
Yeah, because if you didn't listen to our last episode, we talked about, you know, what pop psychology is, the difference between it and evidence-based practices, why it can be so appealing, and social media's role in it. And we didn't have enough time to dive into the specific topics that we see popularized by pop psychology. So that's what we're doing in today's episode. So if you didn't listen to the last one, go ahead and do that so you have some foundational information. But otherwise, we're going to talk about some fun topics. Wow. Look at this list.
Yeah. So in my last podcast, it's just so interesting. We are seeing the culture of young adults coming in here who have self-diagnosed. Mm-hmm. And they have diagnosed themselves with really big things.
Yeah.
That nobody around them has previously diagnosed them with.
Yeah.
And it's so wild to see what TikTok has done to the young adults. And they are now experts on things that they do not have.
Yes.
And or what they are labeling other people in their world.
Yes. And I think, you know, and that's where I wrestle with social media sometimes, because it can be helpful. Like, someone making a reel about narcissism can be very helpful to someone who might be dealing with a narcissist, and it might get the ball rolling on them seeking therapy or getting help. But I think when it comes to these very nuanced topics, and almost all the topics we're going to talk about today are very nuanced and complicated psychological terms, you know, like a 90-second reel on Instagram can't really cover the entirety of narcissism in all of its nuances.
There's so much to it.
Yeah.
And it's a big thing. So let's go there first. Let's go with narcissism.
Start with narcissism.
Because it is definitely what everybody's talking about.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting to watch, because they talk about it on The Bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about it in so many different TikToks, various other media, on television, on streaming. And yet, it is a big diagnosis that has to be made via someone who is evidence-based.
Yeah, and someone who is licensed and qualified to make diagnoses. Right.
So what I explain to all of my clients is, we all have to think of the world as either you're a giver on one end of the continuum, or you're a taker on the other end of the continuum. So you're either a giver or a taker, generally.
Yeah.
You're rarely somewhere in the middle doing both until actually you've gone through therapy.
Yes. So if you're like,
woo-hoo!
Wow, I'm mostly a giver, I wonder how to get in the middle, go to therapy. Shameless plug.
Right. And so we get people to the middle as a result of working through the issues that made them a total giver or made them a total taker. But so I think lots of times I help people recognize that on a continuum, you have somebody who is way down here on the taker end of the continuum. And they kind of take on narcissistic traits, but they don't have everything to be diagnosed as a narcissist.
Gotcha.
So we can have really selfish people that are labeled as narcissists, but aren't.
Yeah.
Because they haven't been diagnosed with that. But we might refer to them as a narcissist, as a way to describe the level of taking that they do. But that doesn't mean they have that diagnosis. And I am having people come in here regularly right now saying, I am a narcissist. And I'm like, well, number one, you wouldn't be here if you really were.
Yeah, because what is it, 1% of narcissists seek counseling?
Right.
Or something really small?
So you wouldn't be here. So I think you've got some misinformation, or people have labeled you. And so that's debunk narcissism.
Yeah. And if you're interested in more information on narcissism, we do have, actually a series of podcast episodes.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we did a Know Thy Trauma series, and we talked about Know Thy Narcissist, where we talked about, did we break it down into five different types of narcissists?
Yes, we broke it into five, and there's three podcasts on Know Thy Narcissist.
Yeah, so if you're interested in more and really diving in, go ahead and take a listen to those. But overall, I mean, Sharon, how common would you say is narcissism? Like, are narcissists common?
No, they are not common, but takers are common.
Okay, yeah. I mean, and that makes sense, because when I feel like looking at social media, it seems like narcissists are very common.
I do think that they are a good portion. Let's again, take it back to the taker population. There's mm-hmm. a lot of takers out there. If we say more than 50% of the population is a taker, mm-hmm. it's getting smaller, the number of people that is actually giving, mm. because we are raising children to be entitled.
Yeah.
And selfish.
Yeah.
We are raising people with trauma, then they beget more trauma, right? So
gotcha.
In the continuum of taking, there's more takers than there are givers anymore.
Mm.
But does that mean a diagnosed narcissist? Or are they on the spectrum of taking? Yeah. The spectrum of narcissism, which isn't actually narcissism, but more taking.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. So we're kind of saying, like, we have this broad continuum. There's givers and there's takers. Of the takers, there are some that are more selfish than others. Mm-hmm. Might not necessarily be narcissists, but then there's a small percentage of that
yes.
taker population that is actually diagnosable narcissistic.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because it's
total malignant narcissist.
Yep. The next topic is fun, trauma. Sharon, that's your forte.
Right. Every unpleasant experience is not trauma. Unpleasant feelings, unpleasant experiences are not necessarily trauma.
Mm.
Trauma is a physical, bodily experience that we have that happens as a result of negative experiences. So if I get a D on a test, I might say I'm having a trauma experience, but that's not necessarily a trauma experience. Mm. It might be I've had a bad experience with test taking and I feel bad about it, but does my body go into a full triggered state?
Yes.
A full shutdown state, a full anxiety, panic attack state.
Mm-hmm.
That experience from the body mm-hmm. makes it trauma.
Yeah.
And we talk in another podcast
mm-hmm.
about that.
We have a whole Know Thy Trauma series where we kind of break down what trauma is and what trauma isn't, and how, you know, trauma isn't necessarily the experience or the painful event that happened to you, but your bodily experience of that event. And then we go into, you know, we have like Know Thy Agreements and certain things that can impact our life further down the line based off of the trauma or the painful experience in our childhood.
Know Thy Attachment, because depending on what kind of caring environment that you have, mm-hmm. that will offset the trauma experience.
Yeah. So like two people can experience the exact same thing if one person has a very supportive and caring environment that helps them move through and process the painful experience, they're less likely to have trauma
yes.
than someone who has an unsupportive environment and is alone in their pain.
Yes.
And they kind of, their body encodes that experience as trauma. So Know Thy Trauma, scroll back a little bit.
Yeah, it's a really good series. We're really proud of that series.
We go
series.
Very deep.
We love it.
Trauma.
So no, not every unpleasant experience is trauma.
Yeah. And so the next topic. So we've done narcissism, trauma. The next one is codependency.
Yeah, I mean, having needs, being nice, doing something for someone doesn't make you codependent.
Mm-hmm.
But there is codependency for people. And I think we label people when they're being too nice. And that's not fair.
Yeah.
And there's, again, some qualifiers to determine whether a person is codependent.
Yeah.
And codependency means I have to do this
mm-hmm.
or I will be tormented. I will mm-hmm. have negative thoughts. I will be, I won't be able to rest in my body until I do this for mm-hmm. that person. That is more the codependency.
Gotcha. So when like your internal emotional state depends
on giving.
Gotcha. And we have, think we also did a podcast episode
on codependency. We did a podcast episode on codependency.
Yeah, and we have on our Instagram at Whole Self Therapist, if you scroll back a while, we have, like, we did the cycle of codependency. We have some visuals to go along with it. But I think I see on social media, I see codependency and people-pleasing. Like, those, I feel like people-pleasing, I don't know if that's, like, a branch of codependency in the pop psychology world, but I see a ton of, like, oh, where are my people pleasers at, or my, you know, people pleasing girlies, like, here's five signs you're a people pleaser. So would you say people pleasing like a pop psychology thing?
I mean people pleasing can be a learned response to your childhood, just like codependency can be a learned response to your childhood experiences. But just because someone comes in and I want to please them doesn't make me a people pleaser.
Yeah.
I might have good people skills.
Yeah.
I might want to not leave that person in a negative state because I know it's going to impact them later. So I'm not trying to people please them for my own self. Yeah. I might be doing it because that's just good customer service.
Yeah. Yeah, or you're just like a caring and empathetic person.
Right,
you know, exactly. And you care about the person. So.
Yeah.
And the next one is gaslighting.
Oh, the term of all terms. But we can all spot it now, can't we? When it's happening.
I think so. Can you define it for us just to, because I still get confused on gaslighting sometimes.
Yeah, so gaslighting is another person's attempt to confuse you by telling you something isn't true. So if you said to me, my hair is brown, and I would say, no, it's not. You'd be like, what?
Wait, what?
No, I'm like, you're crazy. That hair is really ash blonde. And you're like, what? And so gaslighting is attempting to convince someone out of their truth.
And what is, like, what's the reasoning for that? Are you trying to, like, the gaslighter is trying to convince someone to out of their truth for...
For power, for control, right? So maybe I have somebody who has just, I've just held them accountable for something that they just said, and they turn around and they bring up 30 years of something, and I'm now sidetracked on that instead of, I just was trying to hold you accountable for what you just did, and you introduced something that has nothing to do with what we're talking about. What they were trying to do is take the power back away from me from holding them accountable.
That makes sense. So yeah. It's kind of like an abuse tactic.
It is an abuse tactic. And takers might do it a lot, probably more than givers. But even givers can do it in that they try to talk people out of holding them accountable because they think they're amazing, wonderful, giving people.
Yeah.
So again, it can happen to anyone, but it's just when I have an inability to hold the truth that somebody else is presenting me.
Gotcha. That makes sense. So when we see gaslighting in pop psychology, so, you know, if someone disagrees with you or if someone has a different opinion of an event, so if they say, well, that's not how I remember it, I think it went this way, they might not be gaslighting you.
They may not be gaslighting you. They might be trying to really improve the relationship.
Yeah.
They might be saying, hey, you do this. It bothers me. And you're telling me it's negativity. And I'm like, no. It's not negativity. Yeah. It's not toxicity. I'm just saying I want to better our relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. Or they're trying to gain a better understanding or, you know, they're probably not gaslighting you. It is possible to disagree or challenge or ask questions or clarify without gaslighting.
Yeah. Yeah. We're allowed to have conflict. It's not abuse.
Yeah. And I think I'm kind of feeling like there's a theme as we go through and talk about all of these things. Like, it almost feels like the theme in all of these and why we might be quick to label something as something it's not is because we're not used to dealing with uncomfortable feelings.
Yes, again, immediate society.
Yeah, that kind of Western quick fix.
We don't have to wash the dishes. We can put them in the dishwasher. Yeah. We don't have to wash our clothes by hand. We put them in the washing machine. Yeah. So when it comes to relationships, we're always looking for quick labels, quick easy responses to minimize our discomfort.
Yeah, because I think I see a lot of, like, I don't know, like, there seems to be this general understanding or general expectation of, like, we should never feel bad. Ew, why would we do that? But when we're talking about life and humanity and relationships, like, there are going to be times of feeling bad.
Yeah. And so that whole toxic positivity, which I think we brought up, I mean, that is very much like positivity is the answer on social media.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's a bypass, which we talked about in our last podcast. It is a bypass to prevent your personal growth.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bypass that prevents it from releasing it from your body.
Yeah.
It's a bypass from processing it through your brain.
Yeah.
So that whole toxic positivity theme of no negativity, no toxic thoughts, that is really causing us a lot more problems in our society.
Yeah. Like it almost feels like pop psychology could just be a symptom of this problem we're having of not knowing how to handle conflict or discomfort.
Yes. So we see a lot of numbed out, apathetic people who aren't feeling feelings, but using toxic positivity as their bypass around.
Yeah. And I feel like I see it in relationships instead of like working through conflict in a healthy way. As soon as something uncomfortable comes up, I'm going to label you as toxic and I'm out.
Yes, exactly. So I work with a lot of people who run 501c3s in my other business. And what they're talking about is their populations are more apathetic in the last couple of years, meaning they don't have... They want to come if it's good for them, but they don't want to participate if it requires anything of them.
Gotcha.
And I feel like if we recognize what happened to us during COVID, I think we all had so many trauma experiences from what happened during COVID that I think we're still kind of in a numbed out coping state. And we see that, and which is why people are trying to do a lot of bypassing around the work.
Yeah, because that time was so hard.
It was very hard.
I'm tired of hard. I'd take a bypass.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So conflict, resolving conflict in a relationship is going to make you grow.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think what I'm seeing for a lot of people is conflict is now abuse. It's negativity. It's toxic. That's not true.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's our next pop psychology topic is abuse. So I think I see a lot on Instagram of like, oh, this is abusive, or, you know, an abusive environment or abusive relationships, which like they're... definitely are abusive relationships out there.
Right.
But if there's conflict or uncomfortable feelings present, that doesn't necessarily mean abuse is happening. So, Sharon, what is abuse?
Okay. That's such a big thing. And, and there's can be verbal abuse, emotional abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, spiritual abuse. The list can go on and on, right? We can even have abuse in the workplace. But basically what it means is it's the misuse of your power in a situation, and it's harming the other person, and it's corrupt and unjust at how you're engaging with it, right? So what does that look like if you're parenting? It's excessive verbal assault of that person. That's verbal abuse. Okay. I'm verbally assaulting a person to have the power in the situation. I feel like you just took away my power, so I'm using my words to get back my power and now subjugating you.
So there, like, if I lose my temper and raise my voice at my kid, that's not necessarily abusing them.
No, it's not. Everybody's going to lose their temper.
Yes.
Everybody's going to get upset with their child. But if my purpose is to use any part of my being to subjugate another person so that I can have power and control over them in an unjust manner, that's abuse.
That makes sense.
And so, there is a lot of things that people are labeling as abuse. Yeah. We're not allowed to disagree anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lordy, the labels in politics, we don't even want to go there.
Oh, goodness, yeah.
Conflict can be healthy if it's done properly, but there are a lot of people who use abuse in the midst of conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be able to define what is abuse. Because it's not always abuse. Even avoidance is not always abuse.
Yeah. So it sounds like abuse, like almost the same thing we've been talking about, where like these topics are very nuanced and they differ per situation. So it's hard for us to sit here and give you a very concise definition of abuse and what it is and what it isn't, because it's going to be different for everyone's experience.
Exactly. But again, it is a term that TikTok has enabled children and adults to embrace, and now they're using it for everything.
Yeah.
This is abusive. No, you're taking a test right now. It's 60 minutes. It is not abusive. This is what you do in school, right? Whatever it is, it's not necessarily abuse, but people are labeling it because they experience it that way.
That makes sense.
But then they have to deal with their feelings, and why are they there, and where do they come from?
And we don't do that, though. That's an uncomfortable feeling. We don't deal with this.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And I think, too, like, if you're listening to this and kind of thinking, oh, wait, okay, so, like, what really is abuse, and how does this apply to my situation? Therapy is great. Like, finding a therapist, seeing a therapist, talking about your own situation and helping, you know, define what's happening in your life is better than just listening to us on a podcast.
So. Yeah, no, this would be a bypass.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh this my gosh. Could be a bypass.
Right? We're pop psychology sharing.
Right, exactly. And everybody and anybody has a podcast right now. But our goal is really always to put you back towards therapy.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's our goal.
Yeah.
Not because we want more clients, but we just want more healthy people out there in the world.
Yeah.
I'm just always trying to say, how can I empower my population to be more healthy? So that's why we're always pointing you back to therapy.
Yes. Yeah. And then our last topic is the word triggered. I think I hear that word all the time.
Yeah. And I think it's okay to say I'm triggered, but am I trauma triggered? Those are two different things.
Yeah.
They are two different things. And I can be upset about something and be triggered, but I am not trauma triggered.
Mm.
Because again, let's go back to the idea. Trauma triggered is a bodily response that changes the way my brain thinks.
Yeah.
That changes the way I engage with my world. It changes all of my normal functioning. I'm not just upset. My brain is not functioning as well. My body is shutting down. My body is not responding. So it's a lot of bodily responses. So I'll give you an example. One time I was on my way to my hairdresser and I saw somebody very close to where his location is that had actually stalked me and tried to threaten to kill me, right?
What?
These things happen when you're a therapist.
Oh my gosh.
So anyway, I had a trauma response when I saw him. I couldn't park my car correctly. I parked in a different location. I kept backing up and I couldn't function properly. And I go into my hairdresser and he's like, "What just happened? Your brain, you're not even doing anything like you normally do." And that was because I literally had a trauma trigger.
Yeah.
And my brain wasn't functioning like it normally could.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And it was tied to that person threatening to kill me, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
It would make sense that you would have a trauma response to that. But.
Right. So the end result of all of that was I had a trauma event that when I saw that person, it triggered a giant response.
Gotcha.
That affected my brain and my body. And once I was able to label what had happened and talk about it, and do my body work that I do, I could bring the trigger out of me really quick.
Nice. And like return to normal functioning.
Right. I could return to normal functioning. But if someone doesn't understand their trauma trigger, it takes them a long time to return to normal functioning.
Yeah. And this is another shameless plug for our episode, Know Thy Triggers. When we were thinking of doing this episode and we wrote out all of these, we were sitting there and I was like, Sharon, I think we actually have a podcast episode to coincide with every single topic we're talking about today.
Probably because we got so annoyed about what everything was going on that when we started this podcast, we were like, let's write the world. Yeah. Let's write it all over.
Yeah. So then are you saying then there's a difference between like a regular trigger and a trauma trigger?
Yes. Yeah, so I can be very angry at something that my husband has done or that guy who maybe cut me off on the, and I can be angry. But that doesn't mean that I then proceed to do something different with my, like, I go home and I'm angry, but my whole body doesn't change. I'm just angry.
So, like, when my husband repeatedly leaves the cover off the grill, and it makes me instantly angry when I walk out on the deck and the cover is on. So I'm triggered, but it's not referencing a trauma
trigger.
Event.
It's not a trauma trigger.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, so there's so many more topics we could come up with. We really could. Yeah. People come in and self-diagnose. They tell me that they're this, and I'm like, I don't. Or somebody else told them that they are maybe bipolar, and I'm like, I don't see that.
Yeah.
I don't see that, so.
Yeah, because I think, like, we have, as, you know, licensed counselors, there is mental health professionals, there's the DSM, and then there's the TikTok video that says, 5 signs you have ADHD.
Yes.
And I have seen so many of those, and I'm like, I check all the boxes. Oh, no. But that doesn't, you know, that 5-second reel can't really cover the diagnostic criteria.
Sure. And if someone's living in a very trauma-triggering state, they could have the symptoms of ADHD, but not have ADHD.
Yeah. Oh, so much nuance. Such nuance. All right. Well, yeah, so I feel like we've given everyone a lot of homework in this episode. Go listen to our previous episodes. If those are helpful to you, feel free to give us a follow and a 5-star rating. And for more, you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Whole Self Therapists.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening. Any resources or links from today's episode can be found in our show notes. Original music in this episode is by Christopher Burkholder.